are continuing with Not a Fan, this sermon series, Not a Fan. And it's been, to be honest, a tough sermon series. For me, it's a really tough one because it's really saying, I'm calling people to the carpet almost of like, are we a fan or are we a follower and where do we want to be? And through that process, God's been calling me to the carpet. Are you a fan or are you a follower, Kelly? What does being a follower really mean? And it's a choice we have to make as Christians. Am I a fan of what Jesus is doing or am I following him with all my heart? Am I letting him be in me in every minute, in every decision, in everything I do? Am I letting God lead my life or am I enjoying God being there but doing what I want? And it's really about a choice. And we make choices every single day. Every single one of us makes choices every day. And most of us, if given the choice, usually make the same choice. Prime example, if I said you have a choice between two beds, and the first is a Tempur-Pedic. And oh my gosh, just the name Tempur-Pedic, people are like, I'm ready to go to sleep, right? Like it sounds so nice. If you have a choice between this beautiful, comfortable Tempur-Pedic bed or a bed of nails, which one are you probably going to pick? Who's going to pick the bed of nails? Oh, Bill, I know you would. That's fine. But everyone else would probably pick the Tempur-Pedic, right? It's comfortable. It's enjoyable. We like it. We're like, I will sleep well on that. I will not sleep well with nails in my back the entire night. And every time I turn over, I'm afraid to die, right? Like, that would be a tough night's sleep. Same thing if I said, hey, you're going to run a marathon. It's not that you can. You have to. You have to run a marathon. First of all, I'm out. But if you have to run a marathon, which shoe are you going to take? Are you going to be like, you know what? I'm going to use a good cross trainer. I'm going to be able to use this. I'll be able to make it the whole way. I'm going to run this marathon in a comfortable shoe. Or I'm going to run it in wooden clogs. First of all, who here has ever worn a wooden clog? I grew up in a Dutch community out west that was very, very Dutch. They are so miserably uncomfortable unless you wear them just in your house. And then they're great. But everywhere else, they're miserable shoes and they clunk. I couldn't imagine running in those things. It would be horrible. Now, we maybe look at it the other way, too. If you had a choice between, like, going into a men's bathroom, right? Because this is what every men's bathroom looks like, right? It's horrible. If you're a female, you don't know what we live through. So if you have a choice between going into a male bathroom or a female bathroom, honestly, it was my best guess. I don't know what they look like. But I imagine this is what every female bathroom looks like, right? Which one would you pick? Well, you'd sit there and go, that one looks better. I don't like pink, but I'm still going in. It's got flowers on the ceiling. Look at this place, right? We many times make decisions, and we would all pretty much make the same decision, and it's all usually based on one thing, comfort. We like comfort. We like to enjoy being comfortable. We don't like things that are tough. We don't like things that are difficult. We like having our little comfy couch and being able to sit and snuggie up, you know, wear the little snuggie and be warm with the blanket and have a fireplace. We don't want to sit outside in the cold in the winter and be freezing all day. We enjoy comfort. In fact, we enjoy comfort so much that even our entertainment has started to show us, you enjoy being comfortable, let me show you what comfort isn't. And we have shows like Dirty Jobs, right? That pretty much says, these are the worst ones. You should enjoy what you've got. You don't want to clean poop out of somewhere? Keep working hard, right? And we talk about going, we like comfort so much, let me show you what comfort isn't. Another one that's a more recent one that my family loves is the show Naked and Afraid. Who's seen that show? It's people that get naked, get dropped off in the wilderness with a bag, one little bag, and they usually have two things, like a machete and a fire starter. And they say, enjoy 21 days, hope you live. It's crazy. And me and my wife sit there and go, we could do it. And then we see people get eaten by bugs. We're like, we're out. That's it. Right? But we enjoy comfort so much, we're even entertained when we see non-comfort and go, we sit in our living rooms and can watch a show like this and go, whew, that looks rough. Can I get another drink? Right? We enjoy comfort so much. It's a part of who we are. We don't want to be out of our comfort zones. We don't want to be out of those areas. We want to feel safe. We want to feel comfortable. We want to feel like we don't have to push ourselves. man enters Christianity. And when we get to the place where we have the comfortable cross, where we go, that's really nice. I like seeing the cross. It looks good. It reminds me, thank you. It reminds me of what Jesus has done. And I like it that it means love. And I like it that it means happiness. And that God cares for me. And we forget what the cross really, really means. We forget that we're called to carry that cross. That's not just looking at going, look what God's done for me, but God now says, so now you go do the same thing. See, the comfortable cross can be one of, I think, the worst things we can have when we get comfortable with it, that it's just something that's nice that we wear around our neck, that we think of the cross and we go, that's pretty and it reminds me of love. And we forget what it means. We forget that it means death. We forget that our Savior died on it for us. We get comfortable with it. In fact, Jesus talked in Luke chapter 9 and he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Take up your cross daily and follow me. It's not a one-time decision. It's not saying, okay, I'll take up my cross on that issue. You know, where people say all the time, like, oh, you know, I have this cross to bear in my life. It's tough. I have a difficult coworker. It's my cross to bear. Is it? Is that what a cross to bear is to us? It's just dealing with someone who's not nice? Think about what Jesus had to deal with the cross. It was life-ending. It was death. It was taking on the sin of the world. It was separation from himself in the Father and the Holy Spirit. It was everything that was against who God was for us. That's not something we should be comfortable with. Now, it's interesting that the cross is actually our symbol as Christians. I will tell you, if Jesus had a marketing firm back in his day, it would not have been the cross that they would have picked for him. Can you imagine going, hey, you know what we should have as a symbol of our faith? How they killed that guy. Right? What we should have as a symbol of our faith is death. But that's what our symbol is. Now, a good PR firm would have come up with some good things, like, got milk, right? Everyone knows that. You're like, the California board said, you know, we should start getting people to drink more milk. Got milk. And they use celebrities, and everyone's like, I need to drink milk. I need a mustache. Right? Those are good marketing things. Other good ones are like, remember the Coca-Cola with the polar bear? Everyone, I want a polar bear and a Coke now. Right? Those are good marketing things. You're like, that feels good. I like that. That makes sense to me. That's happy. You know, Nike, just do it. Right? It's powerful. If I have Nike, I'm going to do it. I can't. I'm just going to do it. It gives you strength and power. And it's good. Now, there have been some PR campaigns that aren't so great that could have failed miserably, right? Like the Chevy Nova. I love the Nova. This is my car. If I ever have a chance to get a muscle car, that's the one right there. If you want to give me a gift, I'll let you. All right? But the Chevy Nova could have failed horribly. Why? Because Nova, when they sent it to Spanish countries, Nova means doesn't go. No go. That could have been a horrible flop for a car. Buy the Chevy Nova. They're like, no. No bueno. That's not good. Right? But the worst marketing campaign in all of history was this. The cross. Worst marketing campaign in the history of the world. Hey, you want eternal life? Hey, you want salvation? You want forgiveness? You want love that is perfect in every way? Pick death. Pick death by a cross. Pick the person, the Savior, the God of the universe that died. It doesn't make much sense. It's not a good move if you're trying to get people to join you. You know, we talk about going, we want to make Christianity that people see what it means and see the love and see the light. And so we're like, come on in. We want you to be here. We want you to be a part of this. We want to share God's love with you. We're talking about the school of evangelism. inviting people to know God, to know their Savior. And the symbol for that is death. The symbol for that is a horrible death. The interesting thing is, Paul talks about this exact thing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it's the very power of God. This never really resonated with me until I really started looking into it. Think about this. If you went and you wanted to join a club or you wanted to join a group and their symbol was a hangman's noose, you'd be like, I'm out. I don't want anything to do this. What if you went and someone's like, hey, we like the guillotine. It's pretty cool, huh? We think it's the symbol for our group. You'd be like, I'm reporting you to the police. Like, think about it. If we had an electrocutioner's chair up here, a chair up here, electric chair, and you go, that's just like our buddy died on. Would you be like, no, that's kind of morbid. I don't love that. Yet, that's what we do with the cross. And the thing is, if you're outside and you don't understand what it represents death. It's like, why would you want to picture that? But if you've been saved, and if God's worked in your heart, you recognize that the cross is not about death. The cross is overcoming death. The cross is beating death. The cross is recognizing that death, dying on a cross, actually holds no power over us. Why? Because God rose again. Because he died for us so he could rise again, so we could be forgiven and saved and have a relationship with him. See, God did something incredibly amazing with the cross. He took death and he made it equal life. He took this symbol for death and made it equal forgiveness, made it equal life, made it equal God's glory, even though he died. He took a symbol that was probably one of the weakest, most horrible symbols in that day and age, and he turned it into something beautiful. He turned it into something that when you see it, evokes what he did for us, how much he truly loves us. And death became life. If you were a first century Jew and you came in and you saw a cross in the building, you would be mortified, horrified, going, why would you do this? This equals everything that's the worst part of our lives. It's the Roman nation having authority over us. It's the death of this man. It's all these things. And yet God took that weakness and he made it a strength. He took a weakness and it became strength. The cross now has power in it. Why? Because we know what it represents. We know that the cross should not be comfortable and easy going. We know that it should be our strength that we have in our lives. See, he uses the symbol that is the worst symbol in the world to create and show the greatest victory in the world. God's great at this. He's great at taking weaknesses and making them strong. He's great at taking things that mean one thing and flipping them around and meaning something else. And if God can do that with the cross, if he can take a cross, which means death, and it means pain, and it means agony, and it means destruction, and turn it into life, and he can take that weakness and turn it into a strength, he can use my weakness to show his strength as well. If he can take the symbol of death, turn it into the symbol of life. He can take everything that's weak about me. And you can use it to show his strength. Paul speaks to this as well. He speaks about having a thorn in his side. About having this thing that won't go away. And it said that he cried out. He said, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me. And each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness, in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you think that weakness Paul's talking about has anything to do with when Paul's weak, he becomes stronger? Has nothing to do with Paul. Has nothing to do with Paul's life has changed to a point where he's now strong. What it has to do with is the fact that Paul says, when I'm weak, when I recognize I can't do it, that's when God's strength shows through. It's not that I'm strong, it's God is strong in me. I become strong because he is strong. History is filled, it's filled with people who are weak that God used. You just have to look in the Bible. Look in the Bible and you will see people that were weak, that had flaws, that were struggling, and how God took that weakness and made his strength shine through it. You look real quick and you can see Abraham. He was old and he said, I'm going to give you an entire nation. You're going to have kids. Abraham said, there's no way. And he said, watch me. Jacob was insecure about who he would be. Joseph was humiliated, yet he saved his entire nation. Moses stuttered, couldn't speak well. So he used him to speak to Pharaoh. Gideon was poor. Samson was proud. Rahab was immoral. He took all of these people. He took their weaknesses. And he said, through that, my strength will shine through. David had an affair. He was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Jonah was disobedient. Martha was a worrier. Thomas doubted. And Timothy was a timid man. All these people throughout history in the Bible, every single one of them had weakness. And those weaknesses that should have made their ministry fail, and their weaknesses that should have made it so they were ineffective, that's where God shone through. That's where his light came through. Where you're weak, now you'll see my strength. How many people identify with something on this list? Guessing almost every single one of us. We see ourselves in these people. One of the most beautiful things about the Bible, and I love looking at the Old Testament, the New Testament, seeing failures. I love it. Why? Because I'm a failure. And I see it and go, oh my gosh. God worked through David, a murderer, an adulterer, a guy who had multiple issues, yet he said, he's a man after my own heart. He used him to create a great nation. He used him to bring about the lineage, to bring Jesus to us. He took this weakness in this person and made it his strength. When I see those stories, I recognize, guess what? I'm weak. You're weak. We have places in our lives where we struggle, where we're hurting. And yet in those moments, we have a choice. Once again, we can choose to let that weakness define us, or we can choose to let God's strength shine through. We can choose to let him be stronger than that. We can choose to say God can take anything. He can take the most horrible thing and he can make it so beautiful. He can take weakness and make it strength. He can take all these things and bring about his glory with it. For us, that means we have to understand that weakness and that victory over it came at a price. We can't be comfortable about the cross. We can't be comfortable to be like, I like how it makes me feel. We have to recognize that that is God's victory over death. That is God's victory in our lives. That is God's victory for us. God didn't need that victory to make himself more whole. He didn't need the victory of the cross to show that he was amazing. He's God. He doesn't have to show us anything. He is who he is. God, creator, almighty, perfect, love in every way. He overcame the cross for us, and for us alone. So we could have that relationship with him. so that he could take our weakness and let his glory and his light shine through. So that is the question for us today. As we talk about the comfortable cross, as we talk about recognizing that, you know what, sometimes we forget what it means. A God took something that was so horrible and made it so beautiful. We have to ask ourselves a question. Will we let our weaknesses become his strength? As a follower, not a fan, but as a follower of Christ, that means recognizing that, guess what? You have weakness. You have failures. You have flaws. Every single one of us do. As Paul said, and as I will say every time, I'm the worst among you. I'm not up here because I have it together. I'm not up here because I'm going, guys, you need to follow my lead. Come on. I'm doing everything right. What are you doing? I'm here because I sit here and go, my weaknesses are so great, I know I can't do anything without God. I know without him, I'm nothing. We're nothing. Without him, I'm just running on a hamster wheel in this world. Just trying to get from point A to point B. Without knowing what it means to experience true love, true forgiveness, to watch the power of Christ, the power he had on the cross, change my life. And I want you to think that same thing, to recognize that same thing. Are you willing to let your weakness, the place where you don't want people to see, where you don't want people to see the flaws in your life and go, you know, I may look like I have it put together, but at home you don't see me, I'm messed up. Are you willing to let that weakness become God's strength? Are you willing to let him use that weakness to shine to others? To bring others to him? Every story I see in the Bible, the ones that are most powerful to me, when I see God taking people that shouldn't be who they are, shouldn't be where they are, shouldn't be able to do what they are, and say, look, you can't. I can. Do you believe that in your own life? That when you sit there internally and go, you just don't know. You don't know how messed up I am. You don't know what I've done. Do you not think that God can work through that? That he can take that and make it the most beautiful thing ever? There's sometimes pain that goes along with that. There's heartache. There's trouble. There's consequences. You betcha. And it still becomes a glorious thing when it brings glory back to God. God can take those moments. He can take those issues in our life. And that weakness becomes his strength. But only if we let it. Only if we give it to him. Only if we take our hand and finally open it up. Give it all to him. And let him use it for his glory. So that's what I put forth to us today. Let's not be comfortable in the cross. Let us recognize that what God can do in those situations. Let us recognize how God can change us forever. How he can use our weaknesses. Not just destroy them, but even use them for his glory. And for the glory of others. And to bring people to him. To show them what it means to have love in Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much that you're willing to work with our brokenness. Thank you so much that you're willing to work through our heartache. God, you, as a follower, you want us to be tested in this. You want us to trust you, God. You want us to let your strength fill our weakness. Because it's when we let go of our need for comfort, let go of our need for control, God. Our need to have glory in our own strength, our own achievements, our own trophies, our accolades we get from others, God. When we're willing to let go of this, and whatever keeps us from you, That's when you work in our lives, just as you work through Christ, and just how you work through the cross, God. God, it's then that you work in our heart, and you take us who are sometimes hanging on by just a thread, God. And you lift our spirits, you lift our souls, you give us your strength. Take us at our weakest form, our weakest moment, and make a kingdom of good out of it. God, I pray that you'll take us to sometimes where we're all but defeated, where we feel the world is coming out around us, God. And I pray you will take those things, turn them into testimonies. Life-giving messages, God, of truth and hope, of your glory. God, do for us what you've done for the cross. Take it from something horrible to something amazing. From death to life. From weakness to strength, God. Work in us. Work in our hearts. Lord, I pray we give that over to you. That we invite you in. Say, do it, God. No matter what it is.